Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I don't know of a more inviting invitation. Come to me, and I will give you rest. He speaks to the woman who cannot sleep, to the child who is anxious, to the man who is bone weary tired. Come. Rest. The invitation is gentle, not forceful. He speaks from a level place, a humble place, and his invitation is for everyone, all you, or as they say down south, you all. There is not a single person excluded. Everybody come. Come and rest. What intrigues me is why so many people turn him down. Have you ever noticed that? As a kid, I learned a lesson from my father. He knew how to put in a long day's work. At his desk by 8 every morning, home for supper at 6, and then he would change his clothes and go outside for a few more hours of labor. Dad came from a family of farmers. They didn't sit very much. Not unless it was Grandpa who was sitting on his red John Deere in a straw hat and a strand of Timothy grass between his teeth. Even then, the days were long and there was precious little rest. So we would take the summer vacation and go visit those grandparents. We'd leave at the end of an IBM work day. Mom would have the four kids bundled up in the paneled station wagon, ready to go. Dad would roar up the street, run in, change his clothes, and off we'd drive 6 hours in the car along endless Route 6. Next morning, he would wake at dawn on the parents' farm, slug down some overcooked coffee, and ask if there was anything he could do to help. He didn't rest when he went on vacation. I know a lot of people like that. They can quote the Bible, "Idle hands are the devil's workshop." That's one verse and how it's translated from the book of Proverbs. Or there was that announcement that came in the 5-watt amplifier, distorted but piercing, at the teenage youth camp from Proverbs 6. "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways, be wise. Without having her chief officer or ruler, she prepares her food in summer and gathers her sustenance in harvest. How long would you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a vagabond and want like an armed man." A compelling lesson from nature. And in case you don't remember what a sluggard is, the New Revised Standard in our pews translates the word as lazy bones. Go to the hard-working ant, O lazy bones, and learn your lesson. Work hard, don't ever sit still. The Calvinists didn't invent a hard work ethic. They found it in their Bibles. But then comes the invitation to rest. According to the Greek dictionary, to rest is to cease from movement or labor in order to recover and collect one's strength. Now, we don't need a dictionary to tell us that. We already know what rest is. It's just that a lot of us don't do it very well. And do you know why that is? Jesus says, it's a matter of the soul. Come to me, he says, and I will give you rest for your souls. Not for your bones, not for your emotions, for your souls. The soul is the part of us that's alive. It's the intersection of thought, feeling, and breath. It's the gift breathed into us by God's Spirit that makes us human. The soul is the wellspring of our dreams, the anchor for our imaginations, the seat of all passion and hope. And the soul is also the part of us that can be traumatized, grow anxious and fearful. When the soul is wounded, one of the typical responses is to keep pushing on, pressing through, persisting, often in the vain hope that if we just add one more inch to the span of our day, we can speed by or gloss over all the deep wounds we're trying to avoid. That's what Wayne Mueller identified as he reflected on the practice of keeping Sabbath. And why so many people resist it. He writes, this is one of our fears of the quiet. If we stop and listen, we will hear emptiness. If we worry we are not good or whole inside, we'll be reluctant to stop and rest, afraid we'll find a lurking emptiness, a terrible aching void with nothing to fill it, as if it will corrode and destroy us like some horrible, insatiable monster. If we're terrified of what we'll find in the rest, we will refuse to look up from our work, refuse to stop living. We will quickly fill all the blanks on our calendar with tasks, accomplishments, errands, things to be done, anything to fill the time, the empty space. He's right about that. Go to the restaurant and watch the people around you and take note of how many would prefer to stay attached to their smart devices rather than have an intelligent conversation. Or go to the shore and get away from it all. Although Christie's budget is not allowing that shore to be open. And when you get to the shore, you discover that all the others have the same idea, and then take note of how many of them are staying tethered to email and internet. It is simply the next extension of what I discovered 25 years ago when I bought my first laptop computer. Because you can do work anywhere, you never stop working, even and especially if the work is mental, emotional or virtual, or expected of us. My sister retires this Wednesday from Lockheed. When she worked for Lockheed, she was given her Lockheed cell phone and told that she must answer it wherever she was, no matter if she was on vacation or wherever. One day it went off in Denmark. In contrast, let me tell you how interesting it was to spend 4 days last week in the high desert of New Mexico, where there was little internet service, and the only cell phone service was if you stood on a picnic table with your left arm in the air as an antenna. Now, don't ask me how I discovered that. So what is the rest that restores our souls? That's the invitation of Jesus. He says we find it by coming to him. Well, what is that? Is that coming to a church? No, we come to him. Trust me, if you merely come to a church, it will exhaust you. But we can't see him. How do we come to him? We come by paying attention to his grace. We come by listening to Jesus say that every one of us has inestimable value. We come by chewing on the table set promise that we do not live by bread alone, but by the life-giving words that come from the mouth of God. We come by observing the birds of the air and how they are cared for by an unseen benevolence. We come by admiring the wildflowers which bring beauty to our path, which we did not plant. It's all about grace, that invisible goodness and favor that gives us our lives in the first place. If we're convinced that life is only weariness and burden, then we're missing how everything is a gift, a generous gift. If we're obsessed by the latest stupid stunt of some public figure, then we're missing what a wonderful blessing it is to be together, to pursue the dreams we have in common, to work for the benefit of all of us. Maybe the saddest addiction of all is to be consumed only with myself, my views, my fears, my worries, my hurts, my anger, my wounds. I don't think there's a heavier burden than that. And there is only one way to have that burden lifted from our shoulders. It is to come to Christ, who alone is saving the world, not you. And he's doing it as an expression of God's goodness and grace. We really do have to give up the burden of being addicted to ourselves. So I recently picked up the latest collection of Sabbath poems by Wendell Berry, the Kentucky farmer. For 40 years, he has spent Sundays resting and going for a walk and writing short poems on Sabbath themes. He pays attention to the world that thrives even on his Sabbath day off. And in the book's preface, he writes these words. We are to rest on the Sabbath in order to understand that the providence and productivity of the living world, the most essential work, continues while we rest. This work is entirely independent of our work. It is far more complex and wonderful than any work we've ever done or will ever do. In other words, the world doesn't revolve around you. Maybe it's better for us to orbit around the one who makes it all, the one who fills it with life and brings it to every abundance. Come to me, and I will give you rest. It's a persistent invitation. We don't rest once and think we're done with it. Neither do we sit in our hands while others labor for benefit of us. A full life is a rhythm of work and rest, of task and reflection. And if life is out of balance, if the rhythm is limping, the invitation is to come, to keep coming, to persist in coming to the grace of Jesus Christ. Because at its heart, this rest is about one thing. What will fill me again with God's abundant life? What will restore my soul? What are the practices that will create a song in my heart? What is it that will bring you totally alive? That's the kind of rest we're talking about. Every one of us has a unique answer based on who we are and how we're growing and how we are wondrously made. In my house, one of us picks up yarn and needles and imagines a hat for a premature infant. Although these days, she is just as likely to design and create a kitchen table or a backyard deck. I tell you, it is an awesome thing to be married to a woman who has two nail guns. Meanwhile, I sleep with one eye open. Meanwhile, I sit in my blue chair and I juggle metaphors and I scratch out new jazz melodies. All of us are wired differently. What brings you alive? The lady up the street has an enormous flower garden. Tending it is what gives her life. Or there's the man who persists in welcoming cast-off puppies. They give him company and he returns the favor. For some people, it's running marathons, which I don't understand, or singing difficult songs, which I do. For other people, it's providing a happy table where joy is the main course. For some people, it's the solitude work of quiet prayer for the needs of the world. For others, it's translating those prayers into acts of mercy and justice. That's what gives life to them and to others. And the whole thing is what it means to come to Christ in restorative rest. In the grace of God, we find what gives us life and we pursue it. And we keep pursuing it, not for the sake of self-indulgence, but in the pursuit of a greater integration and a deeper health. It's a different kind of yoke to be placed upon our shoulders. We give up all the other slaveries and we take on the disciplines that heal our souls. And that's why we keep coming to this place, why we keep gathering at this table. For this is where we hear once again how much we are loved, how deeply we are saved, and how greatly the world is kept in hands far more gracious and just than ours. May you have a blessed Sabbath again and again and again.